If you're rude to the suppliers, you shouldn't expect new supplies. If your teen grows up and acts rudely toward the employers who supply them with jobs, they will be chastised or maybe even fired. Don't set your kids up to fail later on in the adult world by allowing them to succeed at home while being rude to you. For example, a teenage boy who had told his mother the night before that her supper was gross found his cereal bowl upside down on the kitchen table the next morning. The father simply said, "If you're rude to the suppliers, you don't get new supplies." If we're to ever win our teen back to God in our home, we as parents must have principles and convictions. We must never compromise these principles if we are to please God and win the hearts of our teens. Chuck Swindoll offers parents some words of caution concerning the implementation of new rules that we would do well to heed. Chuck said, "Parents make a big mistake when they don't start off affecting their teenager in a favorable manner from day one. But they make a bigger, perhaps the biggest mistake when they discover their dilemma late and become overly zealous to make up for lost time." A classic example is two parents who attended a family life conference, and on the way home, they wrote down 25 rules to post on the refrigerator with a corresponding punishment of any infraction of the new regime. Upon arrival, they proudly announced, "As of today, we're going to..." It's no wonder that the 14 and 16-year-old teens raise an eyebrow, heave a sigh, and think, "What have we gotten ourselves into?" Suddenly plunging in with a lot of new rules can really upset the apple cart. While a zealous attitude for reform is commendable, how you deliver your new policies is directly related to how well they will be received by your teens. When teens aren't so keen on the new rule system, parents often get discouraged and give up altogether, not realizing that it was their manner that turned their kids off. Remember, parents, the way that you present these principles to your teen will affect the success that you have. Make sure your attitude and your tone of your voice is loving. I would like to share with you now 15 parental convictions that are suggested by Buddy Scott in his book, Relief for Hurting Parents. Conviction number one. We are breaking through denial and admitting that our teen is, in fact, ignoring our guidance on purpose. The only way that healing can ever begin is when we, in fact, admit that there is a problem. Buddy Scott tells of one mother who finally admitted, "My son is not only running with the wrong crowd, he is the wrong crowd." We must break through denial and admit our child is acting the way they are acting on purpose. Conviction number two. Our teen does wrong because of his or her choices, not because of mental illness or physical problems. No one causes or forces us to do wrong. If we do wrong, it's because of our own choices. We were the one to make the final decision to do a particular thing, and we are solely responsible for our actions. It's not the fault of society, friends, school, or the parent. Our child made the choices themselves. A third conviction that a parent must have. Our teen can change, and it's our responsibility as parents to give him or her a decent opportunity to improve. One of the powerful messages of the Bible is that people can resurrect their lives from wrongdoing. The power of the cross can change men. The message of salvation is one of salvaging people, including teens, from their sins. In raising teens, you will get what you expect. If you expect them to fail, they probably will. If you expect them to succeed, they will. If you expect success, your teen will be more encouraged to succeed and will more likely raise themselves to meet your expectations. Buddy Scott suggests the fourth conviction for every parent. We have the right and are responsible before God to require our teen to live as an American citizen in our home, to live a decent, legal, cooperative, and productive life. We must hold the teen responsible for his or her own behavior and to help him or her see that the positive or negative consequences are flowing from their own individual choices. Parental conviction number five is this. We must raise our teen consistent with how he or she will have to become to be successful in the real world. We must teach our teens how to be successful in life by teaching them the following principles while they are living in our homes. Principle number one, if you're rude to the suppliers, you shouldn't expect new supplies. If your teen grows up and acts rudely toward the employers who supply them with jobs, they will be chastised or maybe even fired. If your teen grows up to be rude to the neighbors who supply them with loan tools, the tool supply will be cut off. Logic says, if you are rude to the producers, production will stop. As parents, we must stop producing if our kids are rude to us. Don't set your kids up to fail later on in the adult world by allowing them to succeed at home while being rude to you. Teach them the principle that if you are rude to the suppliers, they shouldn't expect new supplies. Tell them that they have been rude to you, and therefore you'll not be supplying them with, and you fill in the blank. For example, a teenage boy who had told his mother the night before that her supper was gross found his cereal bowl upside down on the kitchen table the next morning. The father simply said, if you're rude to the suppliers, you don't get new supplies. Notice that these parents cut off the supply of the particular thing about which their son was rude and only withheld supplies for one meal. They might have also included refusing to supply between meal snacks for a full day. The boy quickly got the message and the supply was reestablished and conditions were normalized. First principle, if you're rude to the suppliers, you shouldn't expect new supplies. Principle number two, if you don't do your part in the family, you don't get family privileges. Now, by law, all that parents are required to do for their teens is to provide them food and shelter. They should not neglect them or abuse them, and, of course, they must put them through school. Almost everything else is a family privilege and should be related to performance within the family. Telephones, television, stereos, snacks between meals, desserts after meals, allowances, new clothes, going to the swimming pool, the trampoline in the backyard, freedom to go out, to use the car, and such things are all privileges that your teen receives because they are your children. These things are gifts from you, and they're not things that you're obligated to always produce because you unconditionally love your teen. Parents are in the habit of giving, and teens are in the habit of taking. And teens will likely not stop being on the take unless the parents wake up. If your teen says to you, but Dad, it's not fair, you respond by saying, you're right, son, it's not fair. You get up, eat breakfast, go to school, come home, eat a candy bar, watch TV, play Nintendo, eat supper, watch TV, and go to bed. Let's write down all the things that you're doing around the house, all the things Mom is doing, and all the things that I am doing, and divide up the chores equally. I'm sure your teen will soon get the message. Principle number two, if you don't do your part in the family, you don't get family privileges. A third principle is this, mess it up, clean it up. There's no need to yell when your teenager drops a jar and breaks it on the kitchen floor. Just make sure that he or she cleans it up. Cleaning up a mess is normally discipline enough for a teen since they hate to work so much. If they leave the bathroom a mess, they clean it up. If they throw their clothes in the hamper to keep from having to hang them up, they launder their own clothes. If they break the neighbor's window, they face the neighbor and make things right on their own. If they get into trouble with the police, they deal with the situation on their own, with the parents serving as supportive bystanders. If they do wrong with another teen, they apologize to the family of the other teen. Principle number three, mess it up, you clean it up. And let me share with you a fourth principle. Abuse it, lose it. Teach your teen that if they abuse something, they will lose the privilege of using it. Notice how it will work later in the real world. If they abuse their supervisors after they enter the adult world, they'll lose their jobs. If they abuse their credit cards, they'll lose their good credit rating. If they abuse their driving privileges, they'll lose their insurance and their licenses. If they abuse their spouse and children, they'll lose their families. If they abuse a friend, they will lose that friend. We should apply this principle to the family in the following ways. If your teen abuses the privilege of going out by not keeping the family values, then they lose the privilege of going out and are grounded until a relationship of trust can be reestablished. If they hot rod the family car or drive while using drugs or alcohol, they lose access to the car. If they defy you and tune their television sets to shows with immoral themes, they lose their television sets. If they use the phone to plot wrong, they lose their phone privileges. Maybe you need to make a statement to your teen similar to the following. Since you and your friend chose to sneak out of the house when you spent the night with them, you have chosen for us not to let you spend the night with your friend again until you teach us to trust you again. The principle is simple. If you abuse it, you lose it. A fifth principle is this. Waste it, replace it. Our teens need to understand that if they waste a particular item, they will have to replace that item with their own money, either by earning it or it being withdrawn from their allowance. A sixth and final principle is this: want more? Pay the extra. Say something like this to your child: "It's okay with us if you want designer clothes. We'll be happy to pay the amount we would normally pay for your clothes, and you can make up the difference." Want more? Pay the extra.